Let us begin with the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of guidance. So let us embrace and invite all the illuminated souls to help guide us on our path, illuminate us, open our hearts. Open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Today's teaching is from the Sufi Message, volume number 13, The Gathas on Moral Culture. We've begun the third section, and this is number one from that third section. It's called The Manner of Friendliness. The Manner of Friendliness. The manner of friendliness is considered as the main part of study of Sufism. For the Sufi in all ages has given great importance to the art of personality. The manner of friendliness is considered as the main part of study in Sufism. Not a little bit of study, not a casual study, the main part of study in Sufism. That's a pretty big statement. For the Sufi in all ages has given great importance to the art of personality. I'll lower this, David, for you to see if that's better for you. Yeah, I just want to keep that. Is that okay? Better? Okay. And Leo is self-adjusting the monitor, so I apologize for those viewing at the moment and also in the future on the video. They're getting some adjustments from our big dog who's laying at the front of the table here. As Sufism is the religious philosophy of love, harmony, and beauty. Love, harmony, and beauty. It is most necessary for a Sufi to express the same through his and her personality. No doubt in the East, manner is given great prominence in life. In the East, manner is given great prominence in life. The courts in the East were schools of good manners, though a great deal of artificiality was combined with it. But in the path of Sufism, the same manners which are used at court are learned with sincerity. Sincerity. According to the Sufi ideal, All beauty comes from God. So a beautiful manner is a divine expression. So a beautiful manner is a divine expression. In these modern times, people seem to be against manners because of their agitation against the noble, the aristocracy. As there are many who are against rich religion because they are cross with the priest. When man agitates against beauty, he cannot be on the right path. And the movement of today against all beauty that exists in the form of culture and manner is a battle with civilization. I mean, imagine, Murshid spoke these words more than 100 years ago. How true they are also today. A timeless message. The Sufi calls the manner that comes from the knowledge of unity, from the realization of truth, from the love of God, Akhlaq Allah, Akhlaq Allah, meaning the manner of God. In other words, God expressed in man shows in the action that man, the manner of God. God expressed in man shows in the action of that man the manner of God. So all this, these words, all these thoughts, such a depth of thought is given here, all under the title, The Manner of Friendliness. One has to ask oneself, what does one mean by the friendliness? What does that word mean to us? Anyone want to share their thoughts about friendliness? And those from afar also may. The golden rule.
Kindness, gentleness.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. But one could even take it a step further. Don't do unto others even beyond what one would want done for oneself. It's a manner of kind of selflessness, of a love beyond a conditional means, of a depth of heart that is deeply sympathetic, but not, it's not a frivolity, it's not a sense of bartering, it's not a sense of it goes beyond all of that. You know, it's a deep feeling of sympathy and compassion and kindness. Would you agree?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, according to Murshid, at least.
But not a dormant.
No, he didn't say that.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't say that at all. But I would like to read for just a moment, since you brought that up, Rashida, because I think this is important. I have been sharing this with a group of our in our circle regarding that subject. And I think it might be worthwhile reading today. This is from a group of readings that we get on a daily basis, or at least I do. And it has one quote of Anayat Khan, and then it has, even though Murshid Hazrat Anayat Khan did not do commentary on his own writings, there's a selection that seems to be simpatico with the quote. So I'd like to read this to you because I think it relates very much to what you've said, Rashida. This is from the Gayan. The pain of life is the price paid for the quickening of the heart. The pain of heart is the price paid for the quickening of the heart. And then this is from Life, a continual battle, but this subject is found within the Alchemy of Happiness, that message volume. So this is a passage from that message volume, and again on the subject, Life, a Continual Battle. What is sensitiveness? Sensitiveness is life itself. Mind you, this is all from a mystical point of view. It's not really from an ordinary point of view. It can be understood from an ordinary point of view, but it might be misunderstood from that point of view. So let's keep that in mind. What is sensitiveness? Sensitiveness is life itself. And as life has bought both, as life has both its good and evil sides, so has sensitiveness. If one expects to have all life's experiences, these will have to come through sensitiveness. In other words, we're not a piece of wood. We have a feeling, you know, there's a feeling heart there. However, sensitiveness must be kept in order. It must be kept in order. If one wants to know, understand, and appreciate all that is beautiful, and not to attract depression, sorrow, sadness, and woes of the earth. So in other words, how do we remain sensitive, have a sympathetic heart, but not so much so that it turns against us and brings us into a kind of depression or maybe oversensitiveness? There's a balance there, Murshid is indicating. Once a person has become so sensitive as to be offended by everybody, feeling that everybody is against him, trying to wrong him, he is abusing his sensitiveness. He must be wise as well as sensitive. He must realize before being sensitive that in this world he is among children, among drunken men. And he should take everything, wherever it comes from, as he would take the actions of children and drunken people. Then sensitiveness can be beneficial. What is most advisable in life is to be sensitive enough to feel life and its beauty and to appreciate it, but at the same time to consider that one's soul is divine and that all else is foreign to it, that all things that belong to the earth are foreign to one's soul. They should not touch one's soul. When objects come before the eyes, they come into the vision of the eyes, but when they are gone, the eyes are clear. Therefore, one's mind should retain nothing but beauty, all that is beautiful. For one can search for God in his beauty, all else should be forgotten. And by practicing this every day, forgetting all that is disagreeable, that is ugly, and remembering what is beautiful and gives happiness, one will attract to oneself all the happiness that is in store. So when we bring up the subject of not being a doormat, Murshid's advice is to not be engaged, but perhaps to see that as someone that is intoxicated with life or confused in some way. And when we don't become engaged and we turn our attention to something that's beautiful, it can be very beneficial for us. I think that this is a subtle subject and it can be looked at from many points of view. At the same time, if someone sees someone doing great harm to another, one may need to take action, of course. That's the path of the Bodhisattva. And if one is being abused oneself, one should remove themselves from that situation. And I believe, and I think Murshid has advised us as such, in parts of his teachings to keep separate from that influence. So I think it's also up to us to do that, to be responsible. Are there any comments from the other people in the room or any insights? And also the people that are viewing me, please contribute if you wish. I have quiet people today. That's okay. Take another sip. I offer a sip of cool and refreshing water to all of you. Nothing? Okay. Does it make sense? Yeah. So you're just absorbing it. Yeah. Today, our meditation is going to be a little different and more brief than usual. You'll notice that over time the classes have gotten slightly more abbreviated. But I think also it allows us to focus very deeply on a subject and let that subject reside with us for a period of time.